It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball.
Jello, everybody.
Yes, it's the new gay family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, brought to you by the Jell-O family of desserts.
J-E-L-L-O. The big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O puddings.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tapioca puddings. Yes, sirree.
And now Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. As we look in on the Coopers, it's morning. Katie, the maid, is singing in the kitchen as Liz Cooper enters.
Some enchanted evening, you will meet a stranger.
Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, Mrs. Cooper. Across a crowded room.
Well, what makes you so happy across an empty kitchen?
Oh, Mr. Negley, the mailman, was just here.
Katie, have you been playing post office?
No, but I have been giving him a cup of coffee every morning.
Oh, I wondered why we've been getting our mail before anyone else in the neighborhood. He must like the way you percolate.
Oh, I don't percolate for him. He's a Silex man.
Oh.
Oh, that's three kinds of coffee I have to make every morning. I'm an old-fashioned boil drinker. He's Silex, and you and Mr. Cooper are drips.
Well, thanks a lot.
Oh, well, I didn't mean it like that, Mrs. Cooper.
I know. Say, was there anything interesting in the mail? Oh, the mail. Where did you put it? Where is it? Where is it?
Please let go of my apron. You're choking me. It's on the table by Mr. Cooper's plate.
Oh, there should be a bill there from Miller's department store. I have to get it out before George sees it.
Hey, how come the mail's so early?
Too late. Cross your fingers, Katie. Maybe it isn't in today's mail.
My goodness, what's on the bill that's so important?
Oh, a little velveteen suit I couldn't resist and shouldn't have bought and finally did and wish I hadn't.
Oh, I'll bet it didn't even come this morning.
Liz?
Want to give any odds?
May I see you a moment, Elizabeth?
My full name. Oh, he's really ripping. Start a roaring fire, Katie. He'll want to heat up a few pokers.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Good morning, George. How's my little husband this morning? Hmm?
Liz, do you have any idea what the mailman brought this morning?
The mail?
No, a bill from Miller's department store for $98.
Oh.
I'm sure you have a reasonable explanation for this.
I have.
Liz, we talked this over last month, and you promised you'd never charge anything again without asking me, didn't you?
Yes, George.
Well?
Let's face it, George. I'm rotten through and through.
Now, Liz, you can't kid your way out of this.
Oh, I don't mean to buy those things, George. I just go in to browse, and some sneaky little clerk catches me with my charger plate down.
Back it goes, Liz. Back like the coat last month, and the two hats the month before that, and the blouse before that.
No, George, don't make me take anything else back to Miller's. Do you know what they call me down there? Mrs. George Retriever.
Well, I'm sorry, Liz. Maybe someday we can afford those extra luxuries, but right now we've got to cut corners.
Well, it's not my spending that's the trouble. It's your salary. I think
I know just what you're going to say. George, I think you should ask for a raise.
I certainly do. What's the matter with Mr. Atterbury, anyway? You've been with the bank 10 years, and you haven't got a thing to show for it.
I have, too. Don't forget my 10-year pin.
Well, pretty soon you'll have to use it to hold your 10 years' trousers together. You're afraid to ask him for a raise.
I am not.
You are, too. Georgie is a sissy. Georgie is a sissy.
All right. Now, look, if it'll make you feel any better, I gave Mr. Atterbury a very strong hint yesterday.
Really? Did you really, George?
I certainly did. We were having lunch, and Mr. Atterbury said, George, it's getting hard for a man to make both ends meet these days.
Oh, what an opening. And what did you say?
I said, it sure is.
That's all?
Yes.
He didn't get upset by your strong language, did he?
Well, he...
George, you've got to speak plainer. Come right out and ask him for a raise.
Well, things like that just aren't done down at the bank.
Then do it away from the bank. Ask him tonight at dinner. We're eating out with the Atterburys, you know.
I won't talk business at dinner.
All right, if you won't, I will.
Oh, no, you don't.
Don't worry, George. I'll bring it up subtly.
Yeah, I know you're subtly. Good evening, Mr. Atterbury. Sorry we're late, and why don't you give George a raise?
All right, George. I won't say anything if you'll promise me one thing.
What?
For heaven's sake, don't pay the check. No wonder he thinks you don't need more money. You always pick up the check when the four of us go out to dinner.
I do not.
You do, too? Although I'll admit it isn't your fault. Mr. Atterbury can outfumble anyone.
Oh, now, that isn't fair. He pays as often as I do.
Oh, sure. You pick up the check for dinner and dancing at the Biltmore, and then when we're at the ball game having peanuts, he says, "It's my turn, boy."
You're exaggerating.
Use your eyes, George. Every time the check comes, he's looking down, studying his fingers. You'd think he just discovered a uranium under his nails.
Now that you mention it, he has done that a couple of times.
Sure. You don't have a chance between his fingernails and that trick fork of his.
Trick fork?
You've seen it. The minute the waiter brings the bill, Mr. Atterbury's fork jumps under the table, and he drops out of sight to look for it.
Say, that happened just the other night, didn't it?
You know it did. The zipper got stuck in your wallet, and Mr. Atterbury had to stay under the table 45 minutes.
Golly, Liz, I think you've hit on something there. Why, that big tightwad.
Then you'll make him pay the bill tonight?
You're darn right I will. And as long as we're sticking Atterbury with it, let's stick him good.
Oh, you mean order everything expensive?
Everything we order is going to be either a la carte, imported, or out of season.
Oh, good. I think I'll have caviar smothered in caviar.
I could just see Atterbury's face when he gets the bill.
Yeah, make the waiter crawl under the table and hand it to him.
Yeah.
And remember, George, now don't weaken.
I won't, even if we have to sit and drink water until he gets the idea.
Yeah, and if I know him, when we walk out of there, we'll squish.
Wonder what's keeping Liz and George. What time is it, Iris girl?
Oh, it's just 7, Rudolph. We're early.
Oh. You know, George has been acting funny lately. I think he'd like to ask me for a raise, but he hasn't got the nerve.
Well, I'm surprised he hasn't asked you. You'd think the bank was making $1 million the way you throw your money away.
Me? Throw money away? What are you talking about, Lotus Bud?
Well, for one thing, every time we go to dinner with Liz and George, you pick up the check.
Oh, I wouldn't say every time.
I would. Although I'll admit it isn't your fault. George Cooper can outfumble anyone.
Well, now that isn't fair, Iris. He pays as often as I do.
Sure. You buy box seats to the symphony, and he pays the tax on free passes to the circus.
Well, that doesn't happen all the time.
To say nothing of his two wallets. One, he has the zipper welded together. And the other one is made out of a magic carpet. As soon as the check appears, it shifts to another suit at home.
Well, now that you mention it, that does happen pretty often. And if those don't work, he goes to make a phone call. Well... tonight, I think I'll just teach that young scamp a lesson.
Are you going to outweigh him?
You bet I am. George pays the bill for this meal. And as long as we're going to stick him, let's stick him good.
You mean order everything expensive?
Yeah.
Ooh, what fun!
Shh! Here they come. Remember, the sky's the limit. Yoo-hoo, George boy, Liz girl, here we are.
Hello, Iris, Mr. Atterbury.
Oh, Liz girl, George boy.
Hi, everybody.
Well, sit down.
Oh, my, I'm starved. I feel like eating something extra special tonight.
Yes, me too. Get the waiter, Rudolph. Let's not waste any time.
Yeah. Waiter?
Yes, sir?
We'd like to order, please.
Very well.
Why don't we start off with some champagne?
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, okay by me.
That's a fine idea.
Uh, Then you want a bottle of champagne?
Yes, bring a bottle for each of us.
Yeah. Now, which would you like, domestic or imported?
Imported.
Are you sure you haven't had enough to drink already?
No, we're sober as judges. What else will you have, Liz?
I think I'll have a porterhouse steak.
One porterhouse steak.
As an appetizer.
As an appetizer?
Mm-hmm. I'd like a double lobster thermidor.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that sounds good. I think I'll have that, too.
Instead of the steak?
No, just pour it over the steak.
I'll have beef stroganoff.
I'd like a filet mignon with wild rice and an anchovy salad.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and some artichokes and drawn butter.
And some water chestnuts and bamboo shoots.
And bring a side order of pheasant under glass.
Ooh, what a bunch of spenders.
Oh, and for dessert, crepe Suzette and cherries Jubilee and a baked Alaska. Waiter. Waiter, what's the matter? What are you dreaming about?
Oh, if I was only working on commission, I could retire. And now let's see, who ordered the Fitz shampoo?
What?
Oh, that's French champagne. I'm so excited, I can't read my own writing.
That was a delicious dinner.
Oh, I'm so full I can't move.
I'll bet I've gained 5 pounds.
How about some after-dinner mints?
Oh, we've had some.
Well, how about some after-after-dinner mints?
Well, shall we settle up the check? Will it be cash or do you want to finance it? Well, come, gentlemen. Which one of you is the host?
You have just heard a solo by Rudolph Atterbury on his magic fork.
Pardon me, I'll pick it up.
Yeah, I'll get it.
I'll get it.
George, just wait him out.
Yeah, what's he doing under there, stripping down to his money belt?
Funny, I can't seem to find my fork anyplace.
Look, here's the check. Will someone pay it so I can go home?
I'll pay it.
George.
Yes, sir, I'll take care of that little old check.
Well, what do you know? I found my fork.
That was quick.
Here you are, sir.
Oh, now, isn't that the limit?
What's the matter, George?
I left my wallet and my other suit.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, that's liable to happen.
There goes my knife.
Hey, let me get it this
but
time.
I can hear. Thanks a lot.
And look, I'll make it easy for both of you. Let me decide which one pays. One potato, two potato, three potato, four, five potato, six potato, seven potato more. My mother told me to take you.
Ah, that's you, George.
I demand a recount.
I just remembered I have to make a phone call.
I don't think you will.
I'll be right... Who tripped me?
Nobody. Mr. Atterbury tied your shoelaces together.
What dropped out of your pocket when you fell, George boy? Looks like your wallet.
Yeah, we're dead.
Give me the check, waiter.
George, you'd better hit him for that raise right now. We'll need it to pay for this meal.
Oh, Liz, not now. Now, keep quiet.
You won't ask him?
No.
Waiter, will you bring me a paper bag to put the leftovers in?
Certainly. For your dog?
No, for us. We won't eat again for a long, long time.
Well, even if Liz doesn't eat for a long time, she did have a wonderful treat. And I know a wonderful treat that you can enjoy, too. It's apple Jell-O mold. Boy, that'll do the trick. A sparkling mold of bright, gay Jell-O with shiny red apple slices inside. Of course, any Jell-O dessert is a grand and glorious treat. In any of those six delicious flavors, strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, or lime. Because all six are chock full of locked-in goodness. Flavor sealed right in so it can't get out till your first tempting spoonful. That's why Jell-O tastes so rich and fruit-like. Why, you can almost sniff the fragrance of the orchard or the berry patch. And those shimmering Jell-O colors give a party air to the plainest meal. Easy to see why Jell-O is America's favorite gelatin dessert. Look for those big red letters on the box. They spell...
J-E-L-L-O.
And now back to the Coopers. Liz has finally convinced George that he must ask Mr. Atterbury for a raise. She's been giving him pep talks all morning, and right now she's having final inspection.
There, now let me look at you. Your suit's pressed, your pants have a nice crease, you're wearing your sincere tie, you have a clean white handkerchief in your pocket. Now, what are you going to say to him?
Mr. Atterbury, will you marry me?
George, now what are you going to say? Let's rehearse it. I'm Mr. Atterbury. Go ahead, boy.
Mr. Atterbury, I don't want you to grant me special privileges. I realize this is a bad time to ask, but...
For heaven's sake, speak with authority like this. Mr. Atterbury, you've stalled me long enough. I demand a raise.
Mr. Atterbury, you've stalled me long enough. I demand a raise.
Wonderful. Now hurry up while you're still in the mood.
Mr. Atterbury, you've stalled me long enough. I demand a raise. What have you got to say about that?
Mr. Atterbury, we'll see you now, Mr. Cooper.
Oh, thanks, Adele. Mr. Atterbury?
Yes, Cooper boy, what is it?
You've stalled me. You've stalled me.
We'll step on the starter, boy. Let's get going.
Well, you see...
My time is valuable, Cooper. I just waited a half hour with Joe Ridgely. He had the nerve to come in here and ask for a raise.
A raise? Well, what happened?
Let's just say there'll be one less glass by the water cooler.
You fired him?
Bluntly, yes. Now, what did you want? Must have been important.
Yes, sir. I wanted to know, could you lend me your key to the men's room?
I'm so mad.
What's the matter?
George just called and he didn't get his raise.
He didn't?
No, he didn't even ask for it. Oh, he's so wishy-washy.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Well, I would, and if he doesn't stop being wishy, I'll have to take in washy. Well, there's more than one way to skin an Atterbury.
But what are you going to do?
I'm going to heckle him into giving George a raise no matter what I have to do. And I've got some real goofy ideas in my head.
Oh, George, boy, come in. I've had the most amazing morning. Your campaign manager has been very active.
What do you mean?
Liz has started a cold war to get you a raise. So far, I've had 4 anonymous phone calls.
No.
Yes, and 3 telegrams.
Well, how do you know Liz sent them?
Look at the signature on this one.
The Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to George Coopers.
Listen to this. I think you should give my brother George Cooper a raise. Signed, Gary.
Well, I'll tell her to cut it out.
Yes, I've had just about enough. Well, come on, boy, let's go to lunch.
All right.
A rock through the window. Let me see the note tied to that.
Here.
Dear Mr. Atterbury, George Cooper deserves a raise. Signed, an important depositor. P.S. Sorry, I thought the window was open. This will be deducted from your paycheck, boy. Come on, let's go eat.
Well, don't worry about Liz, Mr. Atterbury. I'm sure she won't do anything else.
Oh, won't she? Do you by any chance recognize that little old lady selling apples in front of the bank?
Apples!
Oh,
apples.
No!
Buy
Liz.
Apples. Buy an apple and help a starving vice president and his wife.
Now, Liz.
Buy an apple, Mr. Atterbury?
No, I won't buy an apple.
Atterbury's bank is failing. It's failing. He can't even afford to buy an apple.
Liz, take your apples and get out of here.
Okay, I'm going. I'm going. A fine way to treat a poor old lady. Hello?
Well, you finally did it, Mrs. Genius. He fired me.
He didn't.
I was just getting him calmed down from the old lady bit when in walked 10 kids in rags yelling, "Daddy, I'm hungry."
I borrowed them from Mr. Woods next door.
I have to clear out of my office by 3 o'clock or he'll charge me rent. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Why, that dirty bum.
Mr. Cooper?
No, Mr. Atterbury. He fired George.
Oh, no. But what about the skywriting you ordered?
Oh, I'll have to cancel it. Darn it, they were going to write, "George Cooper needs a raise," from one end of the town to the other.
Oh, I'd like to have seen it.
Oh, Katie, have I got an idea. I'm not going to cancel that skywriting. As long as George is fired, I'm going to switch it.
To what?
I'll tell them to... Hello? Hello, this is Mrs. George Cooper. I ordered some skywriting at 3 this afternoon. What? No, I didn't order. She's lovely. She's engaged. She uses ponds. You've got it all mixed up. That's right. George Cooper needs a raise. Yeah, well, I want you to change it. Now, this is what I want you to write instead. Mr. Atterbury is a stinker, in letters a mile high. Right? Goodbye.
Now, what are you going to do, Mrs. Cooper? Hide?
Hide nothing. I'm going to go down to the bank and make sure Mr. Atterbury sees it.
Well, George, it's almost 3. Is your desk cleaned out?
Yes, Mr. Atterbury.
Well, you can take your things and put them in that large office down the hall.
What do you mean?
Oh, you really fell for it, boy. Everybody in the office knew about your promotion but you. The board of directors voted it this morning.
Promotion? Yeah. You mean I'm not third vice president anymore?
No, sir. From now on, you're executive third vice president. I couldn't resist having my little joke.
Oh, gosh. I thought you fired me on account of Liz.
Well, if she'd pulled one more stunt, I would have. But that's all over. Come on, I'll buy you a drink to celebrate.
Oh, boy, this is great.
Well, what a break. There's Liz. You can tell her the good news. Hello, Liz girl.
Mr. Atterbury, I do not recognize your existence. Come on, George, get your things and let's leave this marble sweatshop.
Oh, Liz, that firing was all a gag. Mr. Atterbury gave me a promotion.
A promotion? Oh, George, that's wonderful.
Come with us, Liz, across the street. I'm buying.
Well.
Oh, look up there. They're starting some skywriting.
Ay-yi-yi-yi-yi-yi-yi.
He's starting with M.R.
Mr.
Oh, well, it's probably just an ad for that show, Mr. Roberts. Come on, let's go.
No, wait. I get a kick out of these things. You never know what they're going to write next.
You can say that again.
Now, let's see. Mr. A.T.T.
Mr. Atterbury, will you tie my shoelaces?
Liz, you're wearing pumps.
You stay out of this.
Well, now, look what he's spelling now. Mr. A-T-T-E-R-B.
It's probably an ad for that piano player, Jose Atterby.
U-R-Y. Oh, that's my name.
No, it isn't. It's that soft drink, you know. Atterbury hits the spot, 5 full ounces. That's a lot.
Liz, I'm beginning to have an awful feeling about this.
You have an awful feeling.
Mr. Atterbury is...
Well, goodbye, George. It's nice to have known you.
Lovely. Mr. Atterbury is lovely.
Huh?
That's what it says. Oh, Liz, this is a wonderful surprise for me.
Well, it's a much better surprise for me. Mr. Atterbury is lovely. Well, come on, let's go get a drink.
Oh, no, wait. He's writing another one.
Oh, well, that one isn't about you. I know what that's going to be.
What?
Just an ordinary ad. She's a stinker. She's engaged. She uses ponds. What's on your mind, Bob?
The circus, Lucille. I went there over the weekend, and I spoke to the folks in the sideshow.
Well, what did you speak to them about, she asked innocently, with the sponsor breathing down her long, thin neck.
Jell-O.
No! I'll bet I know what happened. Come on, Bob, we'll go back to the circus. You be the barker, and I'll be the sideshow, folks.
Hurry, 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 step up and see the sideshow. Here we have Teeny Weeny, the world's smallest midget.
My name is Teeny Weeny. I'm only 2 inches high. I love Jell-O with the 6 delicious flavors, strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime.
thank you, Miss Weeny. And now we have Big Betsy, Big Betsy the lady giant, 18 feet tall. What do you got to say, Betsy?
I'm really only 17 feet tall. I'm wearing elevator shoes.
Well, then, tell me, Betsy, what do you like to eat?
Jell-O. I like it because its goodness is locked in by a special process, so it can't get out till your first delectable spoonful. Can you hear me down there? I can't hear you because my ears are popping.
Thank you, Big Betsy.
Thank you.
And that brings us to this next young lady.
Oh, how do you do? I like Jell-O, too, as it makes me think of the real ripe fruit itself. Believe me, I always look for the big red letters on the box.
Yes, and thank you. What do you do in the sideshow?
Oh, I don't do anything in the show. You see, I'm perfectly normal. After the performance is over, the sideshow people gather around and look at me.
That's all, brother. You have been listening to My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, and based on characters created by Isabel Scott Rorick. Tonight's program was produced and directed by Jess Oppenheimer, who wrote the script with Madeline Pugh and Bob Carroll Jr. Original music was composed by Marlon Skiles and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. The part of Katie the Maid was played by Ruth Parrott. Watch for Lucille Ball in the Columbia picture, Miss Grant Takes Richmond. Be sure to listen to Lucille Ball in My Favorite Husband again next week, presented by
J-E-L-L. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O puddings.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tapioca puddings. Yes, sirree. Log Cabin Syrup for that real maple flavor. For Log Cabin Syrup does your pancakes a flavor. A delicate blend of maple and cane. Serve it once, you want it again and again.
You bet you will.
What a wonderful breakfast thrill is Log Cabin Syrup on your pancakes.
Yes, Log Cabin is the syrup with that delicious Northwoods maple flavor. It's America's most popular quality table syrup. Enjoy it on waffles or pancakes for Sunday night suppers, as well as at breakfast.
Log Cabin Syrup on your pancakes.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
We hope you enjoyed this program from RadioClassics.com. Programs are copyright their respective owners. All rights reserved.